Now, back to Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN.
And welcome back. I'm Harold Mester. It's a pleasure to be with you, and we're in the office of newly elected Supervisor Jason Haas. Supervisor, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to ask you some similar questions that we did with Supervisor Biddle in the previous segment. And I guess we'll start off with just some of your general background and who you are.
Okay. Well, thanks again for having me today. I am Jason Haas, newly elected Milwaukee County Supervisor for the 14th District, which includes the airport, a chunk of Bayview, and a lot of the parts of Morgandale and the south side from 1st Street over to roughly 27th Street and a bit of 35th as well. I am relatively new to the south side. It's one of those unusual things. Usually people who are on the county board have been here all their life, and I have the varied perspective of coming originally from Kansas City, Kansas. I actually lived in Wisconsin the vast majority of my life. We moved to the area when I was 8 years old, and in that time I fell in love with Milwaukee. And though my family moved away 4 years later, I was basically pining or wanting, at very least, to get back here the whole time after that. So somehow that turned into 16 years. Mm-hmm. I moved back to Milwaukee when I was 29, I believe, in the year 2005. Officially to go to school at UW-Milwaukee, because I had not yet finished my undergraduate work. But I knew that to get into something decent, I need a college degree. So I moved back here with the intention of getting my degree finished. Utter coincidence that I was dating a woman that lived here at the time, because having moved across the country prior to this to be with somebody, I was not going to make that mistake again. Though my wife and I have been together now over 6 years and are extremely happy.
Well, good. Well, congratulations. And congratulations on your election to the board as well. Well,
thank you very much. It was a pretty exciting win. It's actually my second time running for office, for this seat, in fact. I also ran in 2008. There's a guy in the race with me, Chris Larson. You might not have heard of him. Yeah. He won that time, and he actually won the primary, and I was out. But at that point, I went to his victory party and said, "Congratulations, Chris, you got my endorsement. How can I help you?" And the rest is history. We worked closely together on the Quality of Life Alliance, which was a project to ensure dedicated funding for the county transit system and the county parks back in 2008, which passed in the November general election. Since then, I'd largely focused on working and getting my degree done, which I indeed finished in December of 2009. And the rest, as I'm very fond of saying, I guess, is history.
Okay, so what prompted you to run for office the first time, and what made you want to get involved? Was there transit and parks and things along those lines?
Both of those and a few more. In 2008, I got the word that my then county supervisor, Rich Niklavitz, was retiring, and I threw my hands up in the air and said, "I got to do it. I got to give it a try." thus, I proceeded not really to run for office, but to walk for office. It was more of a mosey for office, which might explain part of why I was out after the primary. But it got my feet wet, and it was, though that was my first bid for office, I'd been involved in many campaigns and politically involved for some time prior to that. Then this time around, in 2010, with Chris Larson going on to the state Senate, this I knew with his seat opening up, with the probable opposition I would need to enter this time from the start, enter it to win.
That would be a key thing to do, huh?
Yeah. In order to win it, you have to want to win it. That might sound like a Yogi Berra phrase or Yogi Berra saying or even a commonplace kind of saying, but really, if you're not in it to win, what are you going to do? Well, I was in it to win, and this time we hit it home.
All right, so you were sworn in on April 5th, which, or you were elected April 5th, I'm right. Sorry. and you were sworn in about a week and a half ago. What have things been like so far? You know, you went through a full county board meeting. You had another brief board meeting on Thursday. What have your experiences been so far?
A lot of it has been about what I thought it would be with regard to the meetings. The only thing that was very surprising in those was the speed with which some of the unanimous votes were cast. If we're all going to agree to appoint John Gerda to be the historical something or other, well, there's no controversy there, so it's alphabetically go through the list of supervisors. Biddle, aye. Borkowski, aye. Caesars, aye. And before I know it, Haas, oh yeah, aye. it's actually much smoother than that. That was the first half of that meeting a week ago Thursday, I believe that was.
Right.
The second half was much more interesting, predictably. We were voting on redistricting. And redistricting.
And we had the O'Donnell Park.
And, thank you, the O'Donnell Park facade. Two more contentious items. As I'm still in the time of my service where I need to nod and smile rather than say much, I had to do a lot of nodding and smiling there on the board of the, on the floor at the board meeting. And it was quite educational just to see how the supervisors interacted with each other on the floor in the meeting, and perhaps more illustratively in the halls before and after the meetings. Some of the people have been much like I thought they would be. For instance, I know Mark Borkowski will tell you exactly what he thinks. And afterwards, you hopefully go away laughing and smiling and thinking whatever you will about each other. Mm-hmm. But he's a good guy. And I like him a lot. I've also had some good interactions with Joe Sanfilippo. And again, these are people that I might not agree with all the time politically or on policy issues, but, you know, I'm going to have to be working with these people for the next several months and hopefully long after that.
Well, and that's a great attitude to have. Another thing that I had asked Supervisor Biddle earlier, are there some things that are different than you thought they would be? Are there some things that have surprised you or, you know, things you expected would happen that didn't or vice versa?
Not so much. That in a way, that's the most surprising thing to me, is that a lot of things have been largely as I had anticipated. There have been a few less comments from my constituents. I thought we'd get many, or at least some, about redistricting. I received no comments from anyone in the district regarding the proposed redistricting plan, which we passed. And, of course, County Executive ably returned to us unsigned, thus allowing it to become enacted. I did hear from more people about the O'Donnell Park facade, which is not surprising, as that involved actual spending of money. Again, the comments I heard, not of great surprise. There's some folks that were interested in supporting the veto, interested in my voting for the veto. And very few actually wanted to go with what we had originally voted for. Beyond that, I can't say too much. Too much of this has been very surprising. Moving away from that, some of the topics we're dealing with, I've been struck by the breadth and depth of how much there is to take care of, how much the county does. A lot of people think that the county consists of the county board, and so there's 19 of us currently. Next year it'll become 18 of us. And of course, all of our aides and assistants and our good staff here. But the county also runs the bus system, which is very, very large. The social services, which many people don't have reason to interact with. And they just don't know what's there. I can't say that's a good or a bad thing, but if you don't have to deal with the Department of Aging or poverty assistance folks, you have no reason to know that they are there. And with any luck, most people won't have to deal with them, but if they do need to, the county does have those services. And I think a lot of people don't understand that they don't even know that they are there or what they do. I think as a tour more of our facilities and offices, I will definitely then be struck by is how big some of the stuff is. I see when I see the, I've been told when I see the garages at the bus depots, I'll say, wow. And looking at the fleet of buses, the dozens of vehicles that are parked in there, and considering how much fuel MCTS uses in a day, that's a lot of diesel. You know?
Sure, yeah. What have your experiences been? I know you mentioned with other supervisors. How has your experience been with the chairman of the board so far?
This has been, I met the chairman at my swearing in, and we were happy to meet each other. So far, we've had very positive interactions. Dare I say, he likes me. it's been fine so far, and many people have asked me, oh, hey, do you know what committees you're going to be on? You heard anything about committee assignments? And first I start nodding and smiling automatically because that's what I'm supposed to do right now. And I say, oh, you're asking me a question. I'm terribly sorry. And then I smile even bigger, and I say, that will be decided at the behest of the chairman.
What are some of the issues you want to work on? We talked about this with Supervisor Biddle. You have a year left in the, you know, you're filling out the remainder of this term. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things you want to work on? I know it may relate to some of your campaign themes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the three things I campaigned on were in order: clean parks, better transit, and community safety. Actually, all three of those tie together. If the parks slide, the quality of the parks, the cleanliness of the parks deteriorates, it can attract, shall we say, ruffians or vagrants or, you know, those people you don't want in your neighborhood. You know, they might start hanging out there, and that will lead to a deterioration of community safety. One thing people may not understand is how many people in Milwaukee County use the bus system to get to work. There's a saying within the transit world that transit equals jobs. And that is true. Literally thousands of people every day in the county, be it in the city of Milwaukee, be it in West Allis, Cudahy, even Shorewood, or north or west or south of there, use the bus system to get to work. There are many people that cannot drive. So as nice as it would be if everybody could afford a car, which would mean they had a job to afford the car with, not everyone is able to physically operate a vehicle. And those people do depend on transit every day to get to work, to get to school, to get to the grocery store, to get to the hospital, to get to the library, just to get around in general. And because that system has been cut and cut and cut, it is becoming very difficult for these people to get to where they need to go. And thus, it starts endangering our overall safety, because if people can't get to work, well, what are they supposed to do? A man's got to eat somehow. If they are not safe to drive, that endangers our community safety in a very direct manner. And you know, we need to have reliable, dedicated funding for transit, precisely so people can get to their work reliably and safely and on time. Many businesses within Milwaukee and Milwaukee County have joined the call for dedicated funding. They have said, we need this. We need transit here, and we need it to stay in business here. I don't want to lose thousands more jobs because people can't get to work. And that would happen with the further cuts that I fear we might have to make to the bus line, bus system.
Yeah, it's difficult without the dedicated funding. And, you know, I think that the county's in a tough spot. I don't see the governor approving a sales tax or any kind of dedicated funding for transit, really, at this point. What do you think the options are?
Well, it ain't going to be easy, Jim. I don't know who Jim was, but there you go. No, I agree. Given the governorship and the current makeup of the state legislature, it is impossible for anything like that to get through at this time. At a minimum, I think it will be at least 2 years. Well, perhaps not that long, but realistically 2 years before anything could get through the state legislature to enable dedicated funding, be it a sales tax or some other form of small taxation that would provide us the funding we need to operate a robust, efficient transit system and to get people to their jobs, which is, after all, what we need it for. The alternatives in the short term, cut it more. That's the most obvious one. There may be ways that we can operate certain routes at a reduced rate for a limited basis just to see if that draws in more people. Because, you know, currently the fare for an adult one-way trip is $2.25. It was hard enough when it was up to $2. The fare was raised to $2. And now $2.25, for some folks, that's even harder. You know, it's not just a matter of scrambling around seeing if you have a quarter sitting around, but now for people that live paycheck to paycheck, of which there are tens of thousands in the county and in the whole area, that could be a great hardship. If we can knock it down either a little or a lot, even for a short period of time, to see what happens. We'd also need then to make it known, for this length of time, we are going to greatly reduce the rate, and this is how long that will be good for. And after that, we'll have to see if we can sustain it there or if it'll go back up. We need to make that known through advertising, through community promotions, through word of mouth. Milwaukee being a city of neighborhoods, I think we can definitely get the word out through the people of those neighborhoods, the people of our communities. I know they're very good at that. They're good at working together to improve things. So legislatively, I think those might be some of the very few choices other than cutting further. Unfortunately, the transit system has gotten to the point now where it has been cut for so long, steady cuts over years of time, cuts to the number of routes, to the frequency of operation, to the distance traveled, and at the same time, the fares have continued to rise over 50% in just a few years' time. That has caused the ridership to fall as well. So it's a death spiral. You know, if you continue to raise the rates and cut the frequency and the number of routes, well, why is anybody going to ride? And we have to escape that. The only way to do that in the long run is dedicated funding. I know some people will have a problem with that, but I think that's a lot better than the alternative to this, which would be cut the routes, have unemployment go up, have community safety drop, have all the accompanying problems with that rise in concert. That'd be bad for everybody, whether or not you live in Milwaukee, if you're in West Dallas, if you're in Waukesha. You know, we're all affected by this stuff. And that is why I want to dedicate myself to finding solutions to bring transit and jobs to Milwaukee.
All right. Well, we have just a few minutes left here. I want to welcome you to the board once again. Be a pleasure having you here for at least the next year.
Indeed. I joke sometimes that, yeah, unlike my predecessor, I do intend to serve out the full length of my term.
Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to your service on the board. Milwaukee County Supervisor Jason Haas. Still to come tonight, Marvin Pratt wraps up his tenure as interim Milwaukee County Executive. You're listening to the May 1st edition of Inside the County Board.